Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the most fraudulent F1 podcast with Dan, a.k.a. Engine Mode 11.
I secretly moonlight as Helmut Marko at race weekends.
And Blake, a.k.a. Brake.
Echo chambers of farts and idiots on Twitter after races.
It's the Engine Breaking F1 podcast.
Pick yourselves up.
Toot toot. Welcome back. Episode 44, hashtag blessed podcast, hashtag thank you guys for another wild and crazy season. I hope you guys are doing well. We've finished off the 2023 season. Nobody got hurt?
No.
Except for Daniel Ricciardo, but I'm glad he's better.
He did, didn't he? Oh, and Lance Stroll at the start of the season, didn't he?
Fernando pushed him off his bicycle.
Yeah.
The whiplash from that unfortunate,
That's what you get for riding a bicycle.
My mom always said, wait, is it going blind? That's not from...
Where was going with that?
You say, get a Forrest Gump
reference in there or something.
You'll go blind from that.
What? Doing the old hand shuffle?
Yeah.
Oh, Wanker's Whiplash. Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back. This is a Formula One podcast, not some Aston Martin fan fiction nonsense. But anyway, De Vries got hurt. Did he?
Emotionally.
Yeah, he had a tough time, but you know what? Is he driving some Formula E, driving some World Endurance Championship next season? Dude, it'll be all right.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
It'll be all right. But yeah. Well, welcome back. If you're old school, welcome. If you're new, this is the Engine Breaking Podcast. My name is Blake, a.k.a. Brake. This is Dan, a.k.a. Engine Mode 11. Two frauds, used to work in Formula One, and now we do. I'm basically jobless, and Dan actually has a real job.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm a senior consultant, I'll have you know.
Give yourself a big shoot, too.
Large Spanish-based telecommunications company.
Engine braking is not good.
Yeah, there's Max's thought on that. Engine braking is not good.
True. Good enough, though, to make it to the end of the season and 44 episodes. So, thanks. Oh, and
yeah,
everyone tagging us in their Spotify Wrapped.
Hey, you know what? Big yourself up. If you've got us on your Spotify Wrapped, in my book, you're an absolute legend. I've had so many people message me to say, hey, look, you made it on my Spotify Wrapped. I was like, you just went and like set them on auto repeat while you're sleeping. They're like, yeah, definitely. But you know, I just wanted to, you know, it's free real estate, you know. I was like, all right, cool. I appreciate that. But why don't we get into the news of Formula One? I mean, the season has wrapped up. There've been some interesting changes, especially considering the Formula One commission meeting. What do we got as our takeaways from that?
Yeah.
But this is basically all the teams and people involved in it having chats about their plans. And I think they invited the journalists and everything else, or they published this to them to say, here's what we're going to be doing for the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they do it every year, but I'll be honest with you, I've never given a shit about it until we've had a podcast. So
now, yeah, it's like, we'll just figure out what happens next year. It's like, don't you want to know? It's like, no, I don't. Like, I'll tell you one thing my girlfriend does that drives me insane for no reason whatsoever. We'll watch a film and she will read the cliff notes of the film before we watch it to see if she wants to invest the time in it. And that's kind of how I feel about these F1 commission notes. I'm like, you know what? Let's get to 2026. Just surprise me. Surprise me. I'm willing to wait for 2 years and she can't wait an hour and a half. But on one hand, I do respect it. Always prepared. Yeah.
Where we used to get the, when they bought out the technical regs with all the cost cap stuff in it. And it was like a 600-page document or something. I just remember sitting in the meeting saying, I'm not fucking reading all this. Can someone just summarize it for me? Because
ChatGPT sorted me out, bro.
Yeah. And lo and behold, we broke the cost cap. So perhaps maybe that was why. Maybe it was me because I couldn't be asked to read it.
Yeah.
So sorry. Yeah. Commission, the F1 commission hearing took place on the Thursday at Abu Dhabi. Good news for all of you F1 sprint haters. I know you will gather here at this podcast.
Yeah, we're going to do like a sacrifice circle for the sprint races later. My place. I'll give you guys the address later.
Yes. And we're going to potentially shake it all up. They're looking at possibly bringing in some reverse grids and revamping the weekend timetable.
Ooh.
Apparently so one idea.
They didn't hear us that we said, listen, You absolutely the sprint weekends. Can you get rid of them? They're like, no, we can't.
No one's going to believe that because you censored it. Yeah. If it was us, they'd get both balls, double barrel. Yes. So one idea is for sprint qualifying to happen on Friday afternoon, qualifying for the main race on the Saturday. I don't really care how they shuffle it, as long as they get rid of the Parc Fermé bullshit.
That would be very interesting to see, because it's like the argument for... So if anybody's not clued in, the Parc Fermé thing is basically after free practice one on a sprint weekend, you go into qualifying, and as soon as the car leaves the garage, you cannot change the car setup. And that's kind of sucks when you've got qualify for sprint race and the race, like you can't change the car setup. And it's like, you know, maybe you don't have on those Fridays, you don't get the opportunity to learn about the car setup because you have one free practice session to set the car up. And then you're like, cool, there you go. And if you completely mess it up, you learn about it in the sprint race and you can't do anything about it. So it could be interesting. I don't hate it at all.
No, and I forgot to write them down, but they also announced what races are getting a sprint next year. And they actually all seemed to make sense. We haven't got any stupid like Baku or Spa. You know, it's like the usual Brazil, Austria, and I've forgotten what the others were, but they were at tracks that it sort of makes sense at.
Sick. That'll be, you know what? So are we going to go to, what are they changing the qualifying format? Did they mention that yet?
Or is it just still looking at it? I don't think they've...
No. We are checking.
They are stop inventing.
They are inventing. Okay, fine. Okay. Sick. You know what? If they change something, fine. If they make it a different championship for the Bants and something else, fine. I personally understand they're selling more tickets at the racetrack and they're making more money. As a content creator, tech analyst, some random guy on the internet, which there's plenty of guys on the internet with opinions and not all of them are good. I had a chat this afternoon with Niasha as well. And it was just like, it's just so nonstop, man. It's really hard to have some of those really interesting deep dive conversations that you want to have because your rinse repeat always on, which is the same reason I left trackside engineering, which is the same reason I left F1 altogether. Ironically, I'm back in it for peanuts to do a podcast and make videos.
I'm doing the job I was paid a lot for nothing. So like and subscribe.
For the price of $3.99, you can hear my terrible takes all day. Before, only my colleagues had to hear those. Now, you are my colleagues. Anyway, what else we got? What else have the FIA commission, F1 commission said?
Tire blanket ban.
Yeah.
Get out of here. They're getting rid of it.
So they're getting rid of the ban. They're not getting rid of tire blankets.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They've been flirting with this idea for ages, and I think it keeps getting pushed back. And now eventually they've come to the conclusion that these Pirelli tires are never going to be in a condition where they can run without being warmed up. That's not a slight on Pirelli. I'm just saying that's the truth.
Yeah.
You can't design F1 race tires and go through all this chemical analysis and things like that, and then all of a sudden say, oh, by the way, guys, you're not allowed to heat them up anymore, which is like a major component of the chemical reaction.
But I think on one hand, other series are able to do it, and it's not without problems. Yeah, Spa and the WEC was a difficult one, but at the same time, right, Formula One has a big problem. They do not have allowances in the structure for proper tire testing.
That is true.
That's it. Bottom line, it's like, let's develop a tire during a free practice one session at random events throughout the year. No, you need A, B, C, A testing throughout an entire day. You need several variations. A lot. Pirelli don't have the money to do it, and the teams don't have the money inside the cost cap nor the resources with the calendar unless they build up a test team to do a proper warmerless tire for F1. Yeah. I could be wrong, and if somebody does tires, please send me a message. I would love to hear your thoughts on it, and if you want, I can relay those thoughts anonymously. But seriously, I'm really interested because that's my gut feeling, and I feel quite strongly about it. But on the other hand, I've never developed a tire. I've participated in many tire tests, but I don't know. But here's the other thing. The idea is to get rid of tire blankets to save money and save electricity. Guess how you warm up the tires? By burning fucking fuel in the combustion engine. Because it's like, yeah, these are going to need, like, you know, if you make a tire that you can heat up in 3 push laps.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you've just wasted 2 laps of fuel. Add that up for an entire season. Then you'll have these really weird, it's like, right now, I like the fact that a car can go out and do a one-shot qualifying lap. It could go out and do a one-shot qualifying out timed lap in. Most tracks we've had that. Vegas, we didn't have that, which was a very weird flow to a session. I did not enjoy that whatsoever, personally. The Q3 session was awkward. But the fact that you can do out lap, flying lap, in lap, great. It makes for some really exciting Q3 sessions, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, what are you feeling on that?
I think that to say we're going to get rid of tire blankets under the umbrella of energy saving is nonsense, really. When you decide
it sounds a little bit greenwashy, doesn't it?
It's like, oh yeah, we've raced in Baku. Now we're going to fly to Canada. Oh, by the way, now we're going to come back to Monza or whatever. It's just like, what? You want me to turn my tire blankets off? Get out.
It's like you've got, you know, you've got your grow farm in the attic, but you're worried about turning the kettle on to boil a cup of tea. That's what these guys are on. They're on the product.
Yeah, they need to switch to LED lights rather than the
tungsten bulbs or whatever.
That's the one.
No, it's sodium bulbs, isn't it? I don't know why I know that.
No, we don't know that.
Anyway. What else did the commission talk about? Because we've had some other big issues that are, I think, probably more important than either of those things this season, and it only happened once.
Yes. Driver cooling in the wake of the Qatar and everyone nearly fainting and things like that. The regulations are going to be amended to permit a scoop to boost driver cooling. Now, I have no idea what that's going to look like or how it's going to work, or more importantly, how do you determine when you're allowed to run that and when you're not?
Because you're going to have people like, right, we've determined that in Las Vegas, we need some driver cooling because it reduces drag, which that doesn't make sense. But so currently, they've got the holes usually in the nose cones in the past, or like a duct under the side, and that's some driver cooling to keep air moving into the cockpit and out. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. You know, like, but I think what they'll have is, for example, currently they have a notification that goes out on the race control prior to the session to tell the teams which headrest material to use.
Yeah.
So the
okay.
So that, they could do it like that. If the ambient temperature outside is X at the hour before the race, or expected to be, you'll have to do it. Who knows? But it's one of those things. It's like you could see them allowing you to change it outside of Parc Fermé, and if it has adverse effects on the performance, just deal with it.
Yeah, I can't wait till we get, what is it? Is it the F duct or the S duct? Which is the one where if the McLaren drivers moved their hand
F duct
in a certain position in the cockpit back in like the 2000s, it would stall the air on the rear wing. Can't wait for that.
You see the driver like putting his foot up in the cooling duct on the straights or something?
Yeah. I want to see Adrian Newey design a system where if you gurn in the correct manner in your helmet, you get an extra 10 miles an hour on the straight.
Or you can see him doing the old karting.
Yeah, the old leaning forward.
Yeah, Lance Stroll's just run into somebody else in a braking zone. Son of a...
Yeah, I went go-karting once and everyone was doing that leaning forward trick. And then I came in and someone was like, why aren't you doing the leaning forward trick? I was like, mate, I can't lean forward. My gut's in the way. I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. Yeah. I can't go
she
any
won't
quicker.
Go. Oh, well. That'll be interesting. Wet weather visibility. Are we getting some more work on those frickin' scoops or the little beep boops on the rear wheels?
The Subaru Rally Edition mud flaps.
Yeah, boy.
Taken straight off of Colin McRae's old Subaru and slapped on the back of an F1 car. The FIA are going to look at doing more tests on the wheel covers to try and help with visibility in the spray. Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck, fucking goobers. 2026 car development. They've made some interesting stances on that.
Yes.
So this is not next year.
Was that a statement or a question?
It was a question, really. So the 2026 car is the new engine era, the GNOME MGU-H simplified power unit with a smaller, less ice power, less combustion engine power, and more electrical power. But the commission has made some statements. What do they think about that?
They say, listen, you gits, should you so much as even look at working on the car 2026 before the start of 2025, you're going to be in big doo-doo.
So that does not include the power units. Those are exceptions to that, but the car. But at the same time, they're still trying to work out what the 2026 regulations even look like. So I don't understand how teams can not work on it. You know, like it's like,
yeah,
because they'll be coming up with stuff and people will need to check that it makes sense, because in the FIA's infinite wisdom, they do have technical people that can help draft regulations, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, how do you get teams feedback on that if they can't actually go through the process of checking that shit actually makes sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, mate.
Yeah, that's an odd one.
I can't fix everything, mate.
I know, me neither. Why don't we just tell them? So that's the F1 commission, and I think nothing too crazy there. But let's get into the race weekend. But before that, Monster Energy have left Mercedes for McLaren. That's going to be wild. But does Lewis still have his deal with Monster? Because I don't know what it looks like from a branding point of view, but apparently Lewis also has a personal deal with Monster Energy.
Yes. Viewers will be keen to know, and if you've watched a few times, you do know I like to sink a Lewis Hamilton special limited edition Monster. It's my favorite flavor.
Is it really?
Hashtag not an ad.
Okay.
But yes, he does keep his own deal, apparently. Okay. It's just, I guess Mercedes lose all the Monster fridges and they get shipped over to McLaren instead.
Yep.
But I didn't. So I completely forgot that Monster used to sponsor Michael Schumacher when he was at Mercedes, when he came back to Mercedes. I completely forgot. Someone reminded me on Twitter.
Not just the Lewis Hamilton thing. No, exactly. Do you think we'll see some special McLaren flavors? They've got to. A papaya one?
Yeah, and it'll probably taste like dog shit.
Oh my God.
Listen, I worked for Red Bull for 6 years. I've tried every single flavor of Red Bull there is. 99% of them taste like dog water. They're not good. I can't imagine the Monster ones are any different.
I like all the, like, I don't drink them often. But,
oh, I hate
them. Yeah, seriously. Classic, I love. I just don't like that much sugar and caffeine at the same time. The yellow tropical edition is amazing. The cactus fruit one was amazing. The pink, like, honestly, yeah, I love all of them. I just don't like that much sugar in a soft drink, so. You know what I liked a lot that everybody else hated? Or, like, other people, it's very divisive. The cola, I loved it.
Oh, my God, that tasted, how it gave me a headache, man. That's how bad it tasted.
I love the Red Bull cola. I think it's great.
Shout out anyone who's had the lucky opportunity to taste Red Bull cola.
I love it.
It kind of tastes like, this might be a UK sort of thing, but people in the UK might know that cheap corner shop Coca-Cola. It tastes a bit like that. You know, like the real dodgy bottles of cola you can buy from your corner shop by some brand you've never heard of.
Why is this stuff called Choca-Cola? Looks really similar.
Roller Cola.
But speaking of Maccas, McLaren, they've signed a deal with Mercedes for their power units through 2030. They have said, yes, we are going to commit to you. We hope that you have a good 2026 power unit. And I think Mercedes should be probably the strongest power unit. I can't see them not being. I really, like, I won't be surprised if Red Bull has some teething issues the first couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I won't, like, it's not a slight, but I won't be surprised. But at the same time, I think Mercedes should be quite a safe bet.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that announcement at all.
No.
I agree with you. I think it's a big step for Red Bull to produce a new engine. It's not new, is it? I mean, there are elements carried over, but still, it's a big ask for a first-time company. It's very easy to sort of take over an existing engine and say, right, we'll just tinker with it and improve it. But to make a new one from scratch, there'll be teething issues, I think.
Yeah. Well, you remember when Honda came back in the V6? I mean, that thing was shitting Conrods and all sorts of bits into the circuit in Australia. It's like Jensen on the lap to grid, and there's a fucking cog stuck in the tarmac kind of vibes. It's like, that wasn't a little boom boom. That was guts out boom boom.
Renault 2017, so. Baby. Fun times.
Ah, that's a good one. What's the new? AlphaTauri's got a new name. Is it? It's rumored to be, and there's a company registered called Racing Bulls.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, that's like the registered trademark for it, but we don't actually know if that's.
I see.
But that's such an unimaginative name. It's Red Bull Racing and their sister team, Racing Bulls. It's like, wow, come on, man.
I like the Toro Rosso because it had the flair and it gave, you know, a good feel to the roots of the team and everything else. So
I said, just bring back Minardi.
Yeah, exactly. Toro Rosso is dope as well.
Yeah, Toro Rosso was good.
Yeah. But before we get into the race weekend, did you see MBS? Mohamed Bin Sulayemin said, he's like, if I need to, I'll bring back Michael Massey. You know, I'm like, no. I'm like, dude, yeah, he said that he would
say this at all.
The dude's like, nobody's talked about me in a month. I must get a headline. I know what I can do. I can shake, stir the pot, and then defecate in it all at once. No way is this dude bringing. Come on, man. This is the apparently paid Red Bull actor. There's no freaking way you guys bring Michael Massey back. You don't. It doesn't happen. It will not happen.
I don't. What is even Michael doing these days? Is he even doing anything?
I think he's.
Or is he living off of that Red Bull payout?
I'm pretty sure he's doing something with sports cars back in Oz. Not sure. Right. One last thing. Chat, live stream users on the video, Spotify or Apple Music listeners, I've done something a little bit cheeky. I did a video last week about Super Formula with Liam Lawson, and I only used about 3 minutes of footage from that interview. Just some tidbits. But tomorrow on Break F1, which is on Apple and Spotify. If you guys, like, whenever I get a time and, like, Dan's busy, I just, like, blurt out a whole qualifying or race summary. So do be sure to subscribe to Break F1 on audio platforms and go to my main YouTube channel. The full Liam Lawson interview will be out tomorrow. And it is awesome chatting to him. That dude's such a nice dude, so humble. And he's feckin' fast as well. An absolute lad. And it was really awesome to have the chat with him and learn about his experience, A, moving to Japan to race in Super Formula, and B, getting to drive the Scuderici AlphaTauri. You know what I'm saying? Check it. Let's get into the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Wait, wait, hold on. I got to do this.
Breaking, it's not good.
There we go. tell me about it. Let's start off with free practice one. We'll do our usual linear walk through the weekend, but there's a couple shenanigans this weekend.
Yeah, FP1 was bring your child to work day. And Red Bull Racing, both of them drivers just thought, no, I'm having the morning off, sod it. They replaced both Checo and Max. They were like, we're done.
So you had Jake Dennis in Max's car and Isaac Adja in Checo's car. And then Max and GP were sat on the pit wall.
Yeah.
Just chilling out during the session. And the performance engineers were race engineering the cars, and they had somebody else performance engineering the cars. So Max is up there on the pit wall, sitting there with GP, and GP's like, you see how hard this is? You see what I have to do? And Max is like, it's easy, mate. Easy, mate. Did any of the junior drivers have a goof? Was everybody safe? I didn't watch the session.
Not really. I think everyone pretty much kept it on track. Jack Doohan in the Alpine nearly slammed it into the back of Logan Sargeant, but that's because I think
his pit wall didn't give him the comms. Yeah. He got a fine for that, didn't he? That was sketch. That was actually terrifying. That dude was boxed for new underwear. He probably had to have emergency sphincter surgery that night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And chat's reminding us that Jake
Dennis getting his helmet sucked off.
He forgot to tighten his helmet. Bless him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he tightened it what he normally tightens it and didn't realize that the Formula One car will. if you don't have if you look at it, some drivers have the little spoilers on the back, and those are to prevent buffeting because there's a lot of pressure there, and you will get the helmet like pulling on the chin strap. So. Good GG's Jake Dennis. Jake's an absolute freaking dude, though. What a dude.
Yeah, you're quite good friends with him, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a big Jake Dennis fan. Like, the dude's super freaking talented. Like, he did a podcast with Motormouth. Have you been on with Motormouth as well, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So Tim does that. Tim Sylvie. And I listened to some clips from it. It's just like Jake's just super humble, down to earth dude. Goes from racing 10 tops in Aston Martin. Through that, starts, they're like, hey, this guy is pretty good. And then he starts doing simulator work, which is how I got to know Jake so much. And he's had a couple of opportunities to drive the car and young driver tests and tire tests. And then he gets he was talking about the opportunity to go racing Formula E when he was testing with Andretti. And they're like, yeah, do you want to come do a simulator test? And he's like, yeah, okay. Definitely check it out. Motormouth Podcast. Great episode with Jake Dennis. And Tim Sylvie is also a very good host. So do be sure to check that out.
Chat, this is chat and listeners. This is the big difference, right? Between people that actually do the real work behind the scenes in the garage and the people that pose out front like Blake. Everyone remembers Blake and knows who he is. No one's got a fucking clue who I am or remembers who I am. They just remember the guy with a beard that occasionally reset the internet.
Mate, honestly, I am not that guy. When there's a camera, I'm getting out of there. There's other people. If you watch, except for the comms managers, the comms managers are there deliberate with the driver to be like, don't ask that question or, whatever else. And they keep them.
Oh, yeah. HR probably remember me quite well.
Yeah.
I bet they remember me.
But nobody resets that router better than you, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Thank you.
Free practice two, very short FP2 session. Sainz has a little bumpy bump over turn three and sends it completely into the bazes pretty hard. Red flag the session. It was a couple laps, a couple basically out laps, and then he's in the bazes. And then there's like 15 minutes of running at the end of the session, and some people had a look at high fuel runs, but most of those teams, they hadn't driven the actual car because they had a junior driver in FP1.
That Ferrari That's the third Ferrari. Instance. Ferrari.
Ooh, that Ferrari.
Ferrari. That's the third instance that I can recall off the top of my head where it's spun out quite badly after hitting a bump this season. Miami. Another track that escapes me now. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, Miami. Bahrain testing, I think it was. And now Abu Dhabi. There's something funky with that Ferrari.
Ferrari. I think, one, A, they're definitely trying to set it up quite low. B, they're running it quite stiff to keep it as low as they can. And then I believe, I could be completely nonsensing, but I was under the impression I saw a picture of somebody having ground down, like the circuit having ground down the bump at turn three after that session.
Yes, and I agree. Good evening. That bump was quite a bad bump. You saw a lot of people struggle with it.
Yeah.
But there is something going on with that Ferrari where when it hits a bump, it really unsettles the rear of that car.
Yeah. And in case anybody's wondering, Dan was, if you're a video viewer, Dan was just brushing his luxurious beard with a beautiful
beard. It's getting a bit out of control at the minute.
Are we going to get Only Beards sponsor, like, or maybe like Manscaped or something?
No, I reckon we might need to do another bet where for next season where something happens, it gets shaved off.
Yeah, fair enough.
Make a suggestion in the comments.
Yeah, you guys let us know. So, free practice three was a typical quali prep. A few drivers having a look at high fuel.
Oh, hang on, wait. You forgot Max Verstappen and Fernando Alonso committing domestic terrorism at the pit lane exit in FP2.
They were reported for a violation of several treaties and peace acts, both international and domestic. They overtook drivers in the pit lane. Some of the speeds they were overtaking at, like when you get into double digit kilometers per hour, as soon as you cross that threshold of, you know, from going like 9 to 10 kilometers an hour and you're overtaking a car, it's really dangerous and really bad things can happen. People will get hurt.
I just can't stop laughing. The internet absolutely losing their minds that Max overtook people in the pit lane. Fernando Alonso must be sitting there thinking, this is the perfect crime, I've got away with this, because nobody said a fucking thing about him doing it.
Oh, Fernando, baby. He's like, yeah, these cunts don't hate me that much. I love it. Oh, I fucking love it, man. Yeah, so they did, they said, you know what? Abu Dhabi is a unique pit lane because you go down through a tunnel under the track and then you join on the inside of the track. So, fine. And have we had a shunt in the tunnel before? Like an outlap, somebody binning it? I'm sure in the race we've had somebody bozo that.
Can't recall, but I'd be surprised if not. This is F1 we're talking about.
You know what's funny as hell, though? Somebody trying to stir shit, but you know what? I'll bite. They posted a clip of the F1 TV commentators versus the Sky commentators talking about that pit lane incident. One of them was like, all right, go on, lad. And the other one was like, talking about the war crime. Yes. That was good times.
Yeah.
Oh. Good times.
And did you see the Ferrari kid on Ted's notebook?
No.
There was this kid in like this Ferrari hat or something.
Ferrari.
Oh, and this is triggering off my chest infection. That's how much I'm laughing about this again. It was Ted's notebook. I think it was on the Friday or the Saturday. And this kid in his Ferrari cap just goes to Ted and was just like, oh, you're a massive fan of the British drivers or something, aren't you? And he was just like, Ted was just like, oh no, I'm impartial and all this sort of thing. And I was just like, oh, it's brilliant. And this kid in the Ferrari cap just winked at the camera and walked off. And I was like, what a legend. Oh, what a dude.
I need to find that.
I forgot all about that.
I've got to find that. I'm looking for it.
It was good.
I can't wait to watch this. Honestly, that gets me excited. And I don't get excited about much these days. But anyway, good vibes. Good vibes. Chris in the chat, just real quick, since we're live streaming, it's a perfect opportunity. So as someone fairly new to the sport, what are some of the best resources for stats post-race? Is it all behind some paywall or is there a good go-to site? Just looking to learn. I can offer you one. Some of it is free. Some of it is behind a paywall. But there's a, I think there's a good reason, because it's the only ex-performance engineer making analytical qualifying and race content on the internet.
Here we go.
Brake.com, BRRAKE.com. And I do post a lot of free articles on there. And it's basically a coffee a month is the subscription fee. And you can join over 500 other members and get in on all the deep scoop. And if you really want to learn, and I do my best to boil it down and make it very accessible for not only the enthusiast audience, but the casual audience as well. And there may or may not be a team principal that also subscribes to that, which we still have not revealed who they are. But that is an actual fact. It's not a joke. So
actual factual.
Actual in it. Free practice 3. Are we ready to go there?
No. Now I want to talk about now I've talked about what you can do on Buy Me a Coffee.
What do you got on the Only Dads?
Yeah, Only Dads, beard grooming tips, maybe I could offer.
Ooh, Petty Manny video tutorials.
Yeah, maybe. We'll have to come up with an idea of what I can shill.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now you can proceed to FP3 now.
All right. Free practice 3 was your typical quality preparation, but like we said, very few drivers have got to run high fuel properly, and very few of them. Max, for example, didn't do a proper high fuel, and he did one of those push lap with DRS on with medium fuel load into a sustainable run, which is what they do a lot in winter testing. We'll be talking all about it then, but the pace order looked like Mercedes, McLaren, Williams, Ferrari, and Red Bull. And after looking at that session result, I said there's no way that session was meaningful for any fans to look at and try to glean anything for qualifying. Fast forward to qualifying. It's Saturday. The sun's going down. Q1. I forgot what happened in Q1, except for the fact that we lost Carlos Sainz, Magnussen, Bottas, and Zhou. Magnussen, Bottas, Zhou, not surprising. Sainz, very surprising. He had one of those weekends where it doesn't look like he showed up in the race. He wasn't really there either. Sargeant does not qualify because he had all of his timed laps deleted. So the race director granted him permission to start the race despite not setting a lap time within 107% of the fastest of that lap of that session. RIP Sargeant. That sucks, man.
I don't think that's the first time that's happened to him this year either.
Possibly. Possibly.
Shame. I like him. But even now, unless something's happened, I'm not aware if he's got a drive for next year or not. They're still sort of... I mean, I think it's all political, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll carry on with Q3 and we'll talk about this at the end. I just remembered something as well, speaking of contracts.
Q2. Verstappen makes it through Q2 on a single set of new tires at the beginning of the run. So he forgoes any of the track evolution, sets a banker early. The team look at that lap time and they say, yeah, we can predict the track evolution here. We know this track quite well. Send it. Perez runs 2 new tires and all other drivers run used tire, the new tire. So I think basically Checo wanted to get through on one tire, but they realized his lap was not good enough or safe enough. So they sent him out on another new tire to make sure that he got advantage of all that track evolution. But we lost Hamilton, Ocon, Stroll, Albon, and Ricciardo. Hamilton not having a great time in qualifying this season. Looking at the tally, and if you include sprint shootouts, Russell 15, Hamilton 13 on sprint shootout head-to-heads. That surprised me.
Yeah, me too, actually.
That surprised me.
Me too.
So Hamilton really just looked like he was struggling to put a lap together. He would get sector one right, sometimes wrong the next lap. But if he put his best sectors together, he made it to Q3, but he was struggling on his push lap with turn one and then the final set of corners. So not ideal. Q3. Verstappen does not improve on his second run. Verstappen, Leclerc, Piastri, and Russell are the front 2 rows of the grid. I kind of expected Ferrari to go well here, and Leclerc obviously being P2 and then Sainz qualifying P16. That's not really a way that you want to start your bid to secure P2 in the Constructors' Championship, is it?
No, there's better ways of doing it.
I can think of 14 other ways to do a better job than that. I don't think he was taking pole.
I wonder how much of science's problems were probably because they had to rebuild the car, and how many sort of end of season it's only got a last of race parts were thrown on it.
Maybe so, but looking at Leclerc versus Sainz qualifying tally, you want to take a guess? Even close?
I think I know this because I think I saw it, and they're even Stevens, aren't they?
No, Leclerc is 18 to Sainz is 10, including sprint shootouts. 18 to 10.
I thought they were even.
Negative. Russell and Hamilton are the closest on the grid. Everybody else is basically a factor of two or more, and we'll come back to that. Tsunoda? Can we get a toot suit for Yuki Tsunoda with a P6 in that AlphaTauri? And Perez is P9 after a deleted lap time. I don't remember exactly.
For Yuki, I'll even go for a...
Yuki Tsunoda has been kind of... like we say this so much this season. He's one of those drivers who's... it's a bit thankless for him because he's done a damn good job. And I think... Ricardo's done really well against him in head-to-heads. I think, I'm not sure exactly what it is. I think it's like Yuki 7 to Ricardo's 5 or something in head-to-heads. I could be wrong. I didn't boil that stat down all the way. But Yuki's done a good job. They're looking pretty handy in that car. And he's, you know, he had that kind of goober move in Mexico that he never really put his hand up for. But at the end of the day, you know what, man?
Dear. We all have them days, Yuki.
I rate him. So into the season, Verstappen takes 12 out of 22 pole positions. Albon 28-0 to Sargeant in qualifying and shootout heads-to-heads. Verstappen 25-3 on Perez. Alonso 25-3 on Stroll. And when you put it like that, that sounds so bad.
What won, you know, the Stroll?
No, like the fact that Verstappen to Perez is the same qualifying ratio as Alonso on Stroll. Sorry. Verstappen on Perez versus Alonso on Stroll. They're both 25-3 on their teammates.
Yeah, but I'm not massively surprised, though, with Perez, because no disrespect to him, but he's not really known as a fantastic qualifier. Compared to Max.
25, man.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know.
It's a lot. And I don't think that is indicative of his performance level, but it has not been his season. And I would really like to see him have a much stronger next season. But yeah, so that's qualifying. Looking at the overall season trends as we tend to do, and I'm working on a report on the Buy Me a Coffee or break.com to do like an end of season breakdown on the stats, you know, actual stats, wins, qualifying, head to heads, front rows, all that stuff. But also the performance and the characteristics of the car. Red Bull set the pole margin for fastest lap in qualifying on average, very close. Mercedes more or less basically found very little improvement to Red Bull throughout the season. Yes, they did get closer, but at the end of the season, they're still 0.4% off. They had a good run in Hungary and they had a good run in Singapore. But other than that... You know, that's tough. AlphaTauri came back at the end of the season, but they had a couple lumps and bumps. And McLaren are well and truly back with what I believe is I'm kind of disregarding Las Vegas. That was a massive all over the spot. Willow, our buddy Willow Creative says, you should send your stats to Williams. Apparently they need to review Logan's stats before they confirm him. Was that during the race? James Vowles said they're not in a position to confirm Logan Sargeant will be driving for the team next season. That being said, We need an American in Formula One. We do need an American driver. I think he's not a bad driver. I think he's had a tough time, and you see that the pressure. Let's be honest. It's not like the Williams is a spectacular car. Alex Albon has driven the living shit out of that thing. It's not the one. Alex is definitely outperforming that. But who do they put in? I don't know.
Who's the most controversial American NASCAR driver? Let's get them.
I'm not up to scratch on American drivers right now.
Why don't we bring a friend of the podcast, Connor Daly?
Get him in there, man.
Yeah, we'll back him.
Get him in. Connor's an absolute lad. We need to get him back on. Love that dude. Looking at qualifying, though, I will say two people that massively missed out and could have improved their position. Hamilton could have gotten into Q2 or Q3 with his best sectors. And also Norris' best sectors would have put him neck and neck with Leclerc. And Norris, even after he said it several times this season, quote, he's basically been very down on himself about his qualifying performances. And it's like, I think if Lando can find that state where he doesn't have to stress himself out and he can just lock it in and knock a lap out, that dude's going to be fucking terrifying in that car next season if they keep adding performance to it. I'm hyped for that, honestly. And I think Piastri's got he's still learning, but he's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I'm really, really impressed with Piastri this season.
Me too. Yeah, and he's fucking hilarious. Yeah. I love that dude. Honestly, like, I don't usually watch too many of the post-race driver interviews and stuff, but his usually crack me up. So yeah, should we get on to the Grand Prix?
Ooh, yeah, come on then.
Go on then. Last year was mostly a two-stop race. We had the same tire compounds. I think it's was it 3-4-5? C-3-4-5? Anyway, same tire compounds as last year. Last year, Verstappen and Leclerc eked out a one-stop. They made it work, but other people two-stopped it, and they were pushing a bit harder. But regardless, there was still a reasonable amount of management. And this year, after the race, a lot of people were saying, yeah, we tried the one-stop, but we bailed off of it and converted to the two, unless you're Ferrari. You don't hold the L's. You just take even bigger L's. Verstappen in the race, honestly, was completely unmatched in terms of performance. Nobody really came too close to him. Leclerc finished P2. Leclerc was strong during the race, but he just didn't have that next level of oomph. So Leclerc was really good on his tires in the first stint. His short stint on the hard was cut a bit short. And then at the end, his final stint on the hard was not as strong. And ultimately, he ended up backing off, which we'll come back to. What did you think of the front of the race? Nothing too exciting other than the Russell, Perez, Leclerc kind of.
I very much enjoyed Charles's opening few laps against Max.
Yeah,
that was spicy. And I want to see Ferrari get their shit together just because I want to see Charles and Max going at it throughout a season.
Yeah, I do too. I got in trouble with Leclerc fans the other day on Twitter. I don't know if we talk about that now, but because when you talk about a specific driver, you have to be very careful about the language and phrasing that you use, because if it's perceived as a slight or an insult, people that are, you know, really fan-centric will be upset by that. And I know that, and that's on me. But it's an interesting thing that Leclerc always keeps some throttle on a lot of the time during braking, which is an old technique that a lot of drivers would use. You can, like, you know, if you're on throttle a little bit, it loads up the diff and adds a little bit of stability. And I think a lot of people didn't have any interest to understand my point, that the fact that, yes, the driver probably can do that, but the way the V6 hybrids work, it doesn't do what it used to. When you go on the throttle pedal, it's not like it's telling the engine to burn fuel and, like, combust and start driving forward. When you go on the throttle pedal, it just turns off some of the rear brake pressure. So it's like, why not just change the brake maps? Kind of, let's rephrase that. Charles Leclerc is probably one of the best qualifiers in F1. If he's doing something and it's working for him, God bless him, send it. I'm just telling you, as setting up those systems to make it super consistent could be potentially quite challenging. I haven't tried that, but I've had to deal with drivers. Like, I think Kvyat was very tall, so he inadvertently rested on the throttle sometimes under braking. That is really not fun to deal with. Sterling agrees. Sterling wasn't alive when I was working with Daniil, but Sterling remembers. I told him many stories about that. If you're listening on audio, my very handsome cat who decided to do two dirty protests yesterday outside of the litter box, he's come to say hello.
Yeah, I got to stroke your pussy the other day as well, didn't I?
Yeah, it was a really nice. I'll have to put that one on the internet for the only dads. As Sterling came and sat on the sofa, and he just sat on Dan's chest, sniffed his beard a couple of times. He's like, "I like cigarettes," and you're like, "Me too, mate."
Yeah, he was very freaked out by my beard, I think.
Yeah, he liked it, I think. Go on, buddy, hop down. But yeah, I mean, I need to be a little bit more tactful and sensitive. But it's just like when I'm having a conversation about an engineering topic, I don't usually try to consider the feelings of the system or person or topic that I'm discussing. And if I use strange language, I get you'll upset fans. And I should be more mindful of that. Yeah. At the same time, I don't mind that I've bothered somebody with an objective factual statement, but more so the fact that I have to deal with aggro from a bunch of really upset people, and it's just like, it's not worth it.
People need to toughen up a little bit and a little bit of both sides.
Oh, fair enough.
There you go. How about that?
I like that neutral stance.
But any slander on this podcast is only banter.
Yeah. It's not that deep.
Yeah. We don't hate anyone.
I don't.
No. The only thing we hate is sprint races and Pirelli.
What about that? I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to go there. Perez had a pretty good recovery drive, man. Honestly, let's go back to the race. Perez goes from P9, ultimately finishing P3 on the road, but loses the position to Russell with the penalty. Why don't we talk about that? So basically, Perez does a very good job. He goes a lap longer than everybody else, despite starting P9 and having to drive through the traffic. So when you're in traffic, you still do put quite a bit of work on your tires. He drove straight through that, made it work, came through the field on his hard stint, on his second stint, and he extended that a reasonable amount, not quite as long as Max did. He did, but it's similar stint length. And then he came through Norris at the end, came through Russell at the end, and he had a 5-second penalty for his collision with Norris. A lot of people said it was a deserved penalty. A lot of people thought it was that. But at the same time, I don't really want to get involved in that because I don't feel like it's a particularly high IQ conversation. And I don't have a dog in that fight. I just don't think it was particularly consistent with other rulings that we've seen this season, which is one of the biggest problems. And
yeah, that was my biggest problem with it, is that we've seen that sort of thing go by unpunished so many times. And then it's like, okay, now, for whatever reason, we flipped a coin. Now we're going to penalize it. It's just like, I don't mind the penalty, but it needs to be consistent.
Yeah. And I think arguably a lot of people say that, you know, late moves like that aren't good. But at the same time, there was plenty of room for them both on the road. And I don't know, it wasn't like one of those desperate lunges, but it was a strong move. So do you allow them or not? And Checo was critical on the radio on the end of the race. And he said, you know, these guys are not F1 level, these stewards. And they're sorry about that. He got summoned and he was let off with a reprimand or he apologized. But I agree with him. And I think it doesn't matter who you're a fan of, if you're a fan of a driver or a team, if you enjoy the sport, I think there's I will happily say I speak for most people. We are not happy with the consistency of stewarding decisions.
Maybe the stewards were the same people that you upset on Twitter. They both seem pretty soft.
It's possible. But yeah, so that was Perez's race. But at the end, so here's the tango. He's got that. He needs to get a 5-second gap to Russell. Because if he finishes ahead of Russell, Ferrari take P2 in the Constructors' Championship. So Leclerc's on the radio talking to his engineers, like, can we let Perez pass and hold up Russell a bit? And they're like, ah, we are checking over and over. And then finally, like, okay, do it on the last lap. Yeah. Leclerc didn't throw the anchor out either. He didn't really milk that for all it was worth. I think he felt that wasn't fair. But you remember when Checo held up Lewis in 2021? That was, I mean, he's seen that. And it's like, that's what you need to do if you're going to make this work on the last lap. But I think Ferrari could have pulled the trigger on that sooner. What was Russell on? Russell was on nearly 10 lap older hard tires than Leclerc. Oh, no, sorry. No, they're the same age as Leclerc.
I did enjoy the five head thinking, though, from Charles.
But honestly, that just goes to show you.
Why the hell is Charles coming up with that when he's in the middle of the fucking race? Why don't we just try a little bit of...
Because he doesn't trust them. He doesn't believe in them. And honestly, the fact that they didn't bring that up just goes to show you they're not racing on the same level. They're not on the same level as Red Bull's pit wall. And yes, I'm singing praises to Red Bull's pit wall because they've been fucking good. Yeah, because they've been fucking good. That's why. So that tilted me, man, because literally that is Ferrari in a nutshell. It's like, we didn't think of that. It's like, you're fucking Ferrari.
ultimate embodiment of racing on vibes.
But I mean, it's like, yeah, you'll have the cheap fuel flow meter for God knows how long. But it's like, comes to Sunday and your race strategy and like, we'll just, yeah. Speaking of Signs. Carlos Sainz starts, where does he start? P16, right? Where does he finish? He DNFs. That's right. He DNFs, but he was going to finish effective P10.
I completely even forgot about Sainz. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but honestly, so here's what they did with Sainz, and I'm not a strategist, so I'm armchairing this, but I do know a little bit about race strategy. So Sainz starts on a hard because the idea is that they'll be able to go longer than the people that start on mediums. The medium was the prime start tire. Everybody except for Sainz, Bottas, and Stroll started on a medium. Sainz starts P16. He's very quickly up to P13, and then he sits there behind Lance Stroll for a bit of an eternity. Arguably, the Ferrari should have been quite a bit faster than that. And the fact that he couldn't get around him, Sainz was struggling massively on the hard tire, and he just stays out for an eternity. And then we get to lap 24 or so, and he puts another hard on. And at that point, he's fit two hard tires. He has to stop again. And Ferrari's plan was, we'll just hope for a safety car.
Whoops.
If you didn't get the safety car by lap fucking 20, chuck it in. You will do better off. Like, from the point at which they don't cover Perez, or, you know, mirror Perez's stop, they're bleeding track position. And then they commit to something, which is just like, the one stop didn't work. You've got another hard tire, fit it later. Like, everybody else is two-stopping. I it was just like the fact that they Hail Mary'd on Sainz's strategy when P2 in the championship was up. Sainz, that event goes from, I believe, P4 to P7 in the driver's championship.
Maybe Sainz read that comment by MBS about bringing Michael Massey back and he thought, I'm going to gamble on a late safety car. Maybe you thought he's back. This is time. My Go time on, to shine.
Yeah, then you have the team principals on the radio. Bring out the safety car, says Christian. And Toto's like, no, don't do it. It'll interfere with the race. That, you know, I didn't realize that Toto was on the radio. It took me a while to realize that Toto was out there like, no safety car. It's like, there's a car in the wall, mate. Like, in the middle of the corner.
Oh, dear. I wish everyone had access to the unfiltered radios. You do get some blinders on that.
Do it now. Anyway. Yeah. What else do we got? Let's talk about the McLarens real quick. McLaren's Piastri fell back at the race start from P3. Norris moved up from P5 to P3, but they were dog shit on their tires. Like, not that bad, but they were among. There's Verstappen and Leclerc on the mediums at the race start, both be able to go very strong. Lando nukes his tires pretty quickly. Piastri struggles on the second stint on the hards. He loses quite a bit of track time, about 5 seconds to his teammate. And yeah, the final stint, they were okay. But they just didn't have it. Not bad. That first stint fucked him over on the mediums, but hey-o. What happened with Lewis? Lewis goes from P11 to P9. I just didn't have the pace. He spent most of the race with Alonso. I think Alonso was accused of brake checking him at one point, but I guess they looked at the data and said nothing.
No, it was another classic Alonso shithouse where he went slightly off track, because you can do that in Abu Dhabi, right? Because it's all just painted runoff.
Mm.
He went slightly off track and slowed down. There's like a shithouse attempt to get Lewis to overtake him before the DRS point.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I was like, ah, that sort of shenanigans, is it?
I like it. Good moves. But yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Tsunoda tried a one stop. He went from P6 to P8, but it was honestly a decent one stop. It just didn't work out as much as he wanted. Tsunoda finishes 14th in the constructors, or the drivers, sorry. He doesn't move up. Albon takes 13. But yeah, main takeaways from that race is a primarily two-stop race with a bit of management. The medium tire was difficult for quite a few, especially at the race start. And then the medium speed corners that they're like slightly longer duration, like the long combined things where you've got the steering lock on for a long time, they very much tend to wear out the front tires. And a lot of drivers were struggling with loss of front end towards the end of the race. Mercedes take P2 and the constructors over Ferrari by 3 points. Sainz, yeah. Unfortunately, but like, what's Sainz in the driver's championship? 200 to Leclerc's 206. So they're not that dissimilar. I think in general, an underperformance from the Scuderia as a whole this season, unfortunately. And I would love to see them back. Their car was faster than Mercedes on single lap throughout the season. Race pace and tire management, not as good. And operationally,
consistency issues.
Yeah, leaving a lot on the table there. Verstappen with a pretty flawless weekend. Looking at the telemetry later, in my report, I looked at the telemetry in a bit of detail. The car was on freaking rails. Turn 2-3, flat, final corners, carrying a lot of speed through them relative to anybody else. Team pace order was definitely Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, and then Aston. And then after that, it was a bit of a gaggle of cars and hard to say, really. But
yeah, the Aston was, well, as soon as it got on the straight, though, it was like someone threw a parachute out the back of it.
Mm.
There was no straight line speed on that. Everyone just zoomed past it straight.
Yeah, even Alonso almost gave the GP2 engine message again. So let's talk about some, since the race is over, before we get to random fandom and fraud watch and Jamoat Good Boy, Max Verstappen, 19 wins in a season, new record, highest win percentage, 86.3%. Topping Alberto Ascari's 1952, 75%. 10 wins in a row. Knocked that out. He took that one from Seb, who had that. Most wins from pole in a season, 12. Mansell and Vettel had 9. Most consecutive wins from pole. So does that make sense? 16 consecutive wins from pole. I guess if he was on pole winning. Yeah, on and on and on. 21 podiums in a season, most points in a season by far, highest points scored, and most, he led, what, 1,000 laps this season? Hell.
Yep.
Absolutely wild. And just as a reminder, if you're watching this live with us on YouTube, don't forget to hit that thumbs up button. If I check, we've only got, what, 61 people have hit that thumbs up button, and we've got, you know, nearly 350 people listening right now. Click that button. It does help us out, and we do appreciate you guys joining us for this live podcast. But
listen,
is it, go on.
Red Bull Racing as an organization needs to go into work tomorrow and claim bankruptcy and fold, because I'm sorry, but they didn't wing Singapore. So because of that, this whole season's ruined. You know,
I'm distraught, honestly. So why don't we, you guys, you fucked it.
Yep.
You absolutely missed the setup in Singapore. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Everybody makes mistakes. Nobody's perfect, right?
Mid and washed.
Shall we, it's time to do that thing. You guys ready?
Hit the button.
Fraud Watch.
Fraud Watch.
Fraud Watch is where we put somebody on blast for terrible weekend. Dan. We've had the TV directors, McLaren were on Fraud Watch a lot, Ferrari in the FIA, De Vries, Sainz has been on quite a few. We've both done Sainz a couple times. Who you got this weekend?
Maybe slightly controversial, but also slightly under the radar. Kevin Magnussen.
K-Mag, what's K-Mag. He done?
He's just... this season just underlines a woeful performance from him pretty much all season.
Qualifying?
Consistently 19. Beat. Yeah. Consistently beaten by Nico, the guy that sat out.
Should be retired.
Yeah.
Should be retired.
And I like fucker. K-Mag. I think, you know, I like the guy, but... He's just lost.
He's not really done much, has he? The Constructors' Championship, or the Drivers, sorry, he finished 19th. I mean, to be fair, Sargeant managed to finish 21st in a 20-driver championship as well, with 1 point to his name.
Yes, that is true. But yeah, no.
Haas is a difficult car as well, though.
I don't care. Yeah. It's just that Nico's got a difficult car as well.
Yeah.
He should have been beating Nico, in my opinion.
We would have liked to have seen that. Yeah, but all the Nico Hülkenberg doubters have been proven wrong. He's
me
better than Kevin.
Yeah, I maybe that's why I put him on Fraud Watch for this week, because I confidently said that K-Mag was going to make Nico look average, and I believe I have to hold that L, as the kids say.
How big is it?
It's very big.
Okay. Fair enough. I think that's 19-9. Guess who else had 19-9 in qualifying head-to-heads?
I don't know.
Bottas and Joe, as well as Norris and Piastri. So, interesting. I'm going to go with Carlos Sainz this weekend. He had one of those duff weekends. And I'm not going to say he cost them the championship, because... that doesn't happen in a single event. It happens over the series of events. He's had some bright moments this season, but like, this is one of those moments where Leclerc showed up. He hit everything on the head this weekend. He didn't have a fault. Front row, finished P2, was, you know, high levels of CPU usage, of making sure they get the most out of the race, and Sainz was shit qualifying, not great, had a struggle in the race, his fault or not, and then the team fucked him in the race as well, so.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But if you're wondering, audio listeners and YouTube watchers, about our sort of entire season, Fraud Watch winners and things like that, do not fear, because we are planning to do our end of season awards show at some point before Christmas. I just have to tie in the time with Blake.
Yeah, we'll sort that out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
You best believe we're doing, we'll tie in the Fraud Watch season awards and the season awards, which you guys, our listeners and viewers, are going to help us put together as well.
Yeah, so, views are voted for. So keep an eye on Twitter, and we will let you know how you can vote and when we will do the show. My sparkly tuxedo is ready. I hope yours is ready.
My tux is ready, but God, it doesn't fit anymore. And that bow tie,
I never said it fits, but yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, why don't we've talked some shit. Why don't we put some respect on a couple names? Let's go. Let's go. You ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, who's a good boy?
I am. I'm a good boy.
Are you a good boy?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Okay. Who are you putting on engine mode, good boy? Who are you giving some props to this weekend for a...
It's got to be the one, the only... Yuki Tsunoda.
Oh, get in there, Yuki. He's been all right, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yoints.
Yeah, we got yoints, ladies and gentlemen. And the first Japanese driver to lead a Grand Prix since... Oh, I know this. I wrote it down. 1996?
It's been a minute. Who was it?
Only the second time in history that a Japanese driver has led an F1 race.
We got some yoints, mate.
So yeah,
fair enough. I'm honestly going to be a bit of a dickhead and give it to Max.
Disgusting, like, bias.
It's just honestly, man, like, he doesn't fucking miss. He is not happy with just, you know, like, I won it already. Like, there was nothing else to prove, and he goes out and has another absolute fucking banger of a weekend. His qualifying was not perfect. Despite being on pole, he still did not improve on his second lap, but they got the job done. It just doesn't, he's not missing. And I think until somebody produces a much faster car. Yeah, the fact exactly, as we said in chat, the fact that getting 1,000 laps led was plan A. Like, the dude is literally just trying to tick off accomplishments because there's no other challenge right now.
What else is he going to do?
Yeah. No, I've got a lot of time for people that, like, athletes that are focused like that. It's impressive and humbling because I'm a fucking lazy piece of shit. So, is it, we've got one more segment before we conclude tonight's episode.
Oh, we do. And it is not that button. It is.
Random fandom.
I did so well the other week.
Yeah, you nailed every one of them, man. Absolute fraud.
Not today.
No, send it.
Yeah, random fandom, where we randomly pick a team to hype up for the weekend and then give you a after-action report. For this week, I got AlphaTauri, which is the reason why Yuki smashed it, because he was, the beard was on his side. He knew all about it. Surprisingly, they bought a bunch of upgrades to this race, but Daniel struggled more with the car throughout the weekend. And as discussed, we lost him in Q2, qualifying in 15th. Tsunoda squeezed his way into Q3 and then shithoused his way to 6th. So good on him.
Yeah, that's a toot toot for that.
It's a big toot toot, yeah. There you go. And it was looking good, right, for the team to overtake Williams for 7th. I think they were only 7 points ahead in the championship at that point in time. So, you know, it was looking positive.
Yeah, could have done it.
So for the race, Tsunoda ran a long first stint to try and one stop in the hopes of doing something different, which is the reason why we ended up having him leading the race at one point. And like I said, only the second time in history that a Japanese driver has led an F1 race. So big up yourself, Yuki.
Let's go, lad.
Unfortunately, because of the whole one stop, he ended up falling backwards a bit down to 8th as his tyres were sort of dead towards the end. And sadly, that was not enough to pass Williams in the Constructors. However, he did win his first Driver of the Day award.
Well done, Yuki. It was a good drive.
It was.
It was a banger drive.
Daniel Ricciardo's weekend was not as good, unfortunately. Like I say, he was struggling with his car pretty much all through the weekend. And then it just went from bad to worse during the race as he picked up a tear off in his brake duct.
Oh, the banana peel, eh?
Yeah, had to pit early to deal with that, which sort of left him no choice but to go to an aggressive two-stop. He did well to recover back to P11. He was only less than a second away from 10th. So, you know, it was a good recovery, but no points, unfortunately. And finally, it was the last AlphaTauri race, or any race in general, for Franz Tost, as he's off into retirement after 18 years of running AlphaTauri, back when it was Toro Rosso and whatnot. So, yeah, big up yourself, Franz, even though Lewis Hamilton doesn't know who you are.
He's not some American dude, is he?
No.
That's a good one. Fair enough, man. And 18 years in the sport is impressive. I've got Williams, and Williams finished P7 ahead of AlphaTauri in the Constructors' Championship. Therefore, they get an A+. Fuck you.
Okay, fine. Great. Well done.
Excuse me. No, this weekend for Williams, I think a forgettable one, honestly. What do we got? So Logan Sargeant didn't set a qualifying time. He starts from God knows where. Alex gets knocked out in Q2, P14. Not a particularly strong performance, but the track, medium and low speed corners, couple highs, a little bit of everything. Wasn't going to go well. Long straights, fine, but the Williams wasn't having it this weekend. And then in the race, was Sargeant P16, Albon P14, no points for them. No loints or anything. I don't know. I'm going to give this a relative to absolute terms, probably okay from what they could have expected to do. Probably still not. I don't think they're particularly happy with that weekend, especially. I mean, they literally just needed, before going into the event, they were a point ahead. Sorry, we were only a point behind AlphaTauri. Wait. I'm sorry. Going into the weekend, they were 7 points ahead of AlphaTauri. Sorry, I couldn't math. They were not going to catch Alpine. They were locked in at P7. That's a bit of a gap to close to next season to Alpine from a performance, but Alpine's been inconsistent as hell. Aston Martin dropped off, but where do you see Williams finishing next season? P6 best?
Man, it's a hard one. I like the trajectory, but yeah, it's so hard to keep that trajectory when all the other teams out there, you know, we know AlphaTauri are taking as many parts of the Red Bull as they can legally. I don't see them being any higher than 7th again. I think it's too much of a tall order.
I don't know if Alpine have it in them to keep pushing if other people are developing. Like, I just don't have that much faith in Renault. You know, I don't. So maybe I think that's best, unless they have some great stuff in the pipeline over the season. I think Sargeant, you know, Albon scored 27 points in the drivers to Sargeant's 1 point. Albon was there to pick up the pieces in Shithouse's way and outperform that car. And Sargeant scraped by with, what was it, a point in Zandvoort or USA or something? I don't even remember.
USA.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I think, that's a D for Williams this weekend, easily. But, yeah, somebody in the chat asked, did I ever work for Otmar? Otmar was the boss at Force India when I was there. He was a good dude, and it's very interesting that he got ousted from there, considering it doesn't look like any of the other people that are left there, particularly spectacular. That at the top of the food chain, the engineers that are doing the hard bits, there's some absolute legends and gems there, but I don't really know about their senior management. I don't know them, so not enthused about any of them. But yeah, let's do this. Let's wrap it up here. We'll get our season review episode maybe next week or maybe the week after, And then we'll be back with some more freaking fraudulence, yo.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll have to leave enough time for people to vote.
Yeah, all that jazz. But you guys, do yourselves a favor. Check on your mates. Go check on your butcher. Make sure you've been buying local meat from him and not from Tesco.
Yeah, and if you've been with us for this season, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hope to see you again next season, but we will be doing bits and pieces throughout the off season. But if you don't, you know, if you don't want to do anything until winter testing, fine. Enjoy your Christmas. Have a happy new year. Good luck to you. And you can,
if you wouldn't mind, do that. We'll see you guys later. One more toot toot. One more toot toot.
Oh, one more toot toot.
Love that. Love that. Peace out, guys. Thank you guys for all your support.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.